So let's stand for the reading and reverence of God's Word, 2 Timothy chapter number 1. Well, let's just begin reading in verse number 1. We'll read several verses here. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, in Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, listen to this, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith, Timothy was homeschooled, that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and am persuaded that in thee also. Ma'am, ladies, if you think you don't have an important job, you ought to memorize that verse and print it on your kitchen wall, because it doesn't say anything about Timothy's father. Right. Not that he might not have had an influence in his faith, but it doesn't say that it was his father. It was his grandmother and his mother that influenced his faith so greatly. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God, this is our text verse this morning, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not therefore ashamed. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. Dear Lord, I thank you for all you've done for us. Thank you for the beautiful songs of Zion we've already heard that prepared our heart for the preaching. Lord, I pray, dear God, I wanted to preach the gospel this morning just outright. Lord, this is what you put on my heart. And I pray, dear God, that you touch us as saints, dear God, in this day of uncertainty and, Lord, upheaval. I pray that you'd encourage us through your word this morning. I pray that, dear God, that you touch everybody's heart here about the tent meeting. Lord, I pray, dear God, that this evening we would have to figure out how to get more chairs, dear God, and get more room, Lord, because people filling it up. I pray that everybody would get a burden about reaching their Jerusalem, dear God. This is not my Jerusalem, this is theirs. And I pray that you'd help us to come alongside these churches and labor in the gospel ministry. I pray that you fill me with the Spirit today, touch me mentally, physically, and spiritually. And please, if there's anybody lost here this morning, I pray they'd just go ahead and get saved today. Wouldn't even wait for the tent. Lord, we love you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. Might be seated. I don't even know that I call this a real message. This is more of a thought that God just placed on my heart a few weeks ago when I was in revival meeting, and it was our first revival back, and I was praying about what to preach, and God just brought this this text to my remembrance. And I don't know if y'all have noticed, but everything's not going real good out there. Amen. It's kind of disturbing, if you will. I'll be honest with y'all. Last September, I quit watching the news, which I don't have a TV, but I quit watching or listening or whatever to anything, and it's really helped me. Amen. But I had gotten fearful. Anybody else felt that? Anybody else noticed that they're using fear to push a lot of things and to control people? And fear really is the best controller, if you will. I don't know of a better word, but it really does control people. We will give up a lot of things to feel safe. And the world knows that. The devil knows that. And the spirit of Antichrist is already at work in this present age. And as I begin to think about these things, I was going into this smaller church and up in North Carolina, and man, they were just scared to death. There was people in that church that were just fearful. It seems like everywhere I go, I mean, everybody's just fearful. I mean, people will get up this close to you, but they don't want to shake your hand. They want to bump your elbow. And if you do that, I'm not picking on you, but we're already this close, okay? We've already shared some air, amen? But everybody's scared to death about to lose their mind. And you said, before you get critical, I've lost a grandfather who is more than likely, unfortunately, he is probably in hell today. He passed away in February. My grandparents, just the other two of my grandparents, just both got out of the hospital with this virus, and I understand things are real, and you can believe both. You can believe that it's real, and you can believe it's being used to fearmonger. Amen. And I'm not just talking about that. I'm talking about political things, economic things, all across the board. It seems like God's people are living in a lot of fear, and the world itself is living in a lot of fear, and it's being used. And I begin to think on that topic, and there's probably not a verse in the Bible that is more relevant to fear than this verse right here. I begin to study it. I begin to look into it. I begin to dig into it. And God began to give me a thought on the fundamentals of fear. And that's what I want to preach on this morning, the fundamentals of fear. If you know anything about Timothy, my mentor, Brother Mike Bagel, he calls Titus Paul's bulldog preacher boy. Amen. Titus was the bull in a china shop, just go in and rip it all up kind of preacher. Amen. That's the kind I like. Let's just be honest. Amen. Just rip it up. Amen. That's the kind of preacher Titus was. But his other preacher boy is Timothy. And my mentor, Brother Bagwell, always called him Timid Timothy. He had a tummy ache. Amen. Teased. Amen. And Timothy was more backwards. Timothy was more shy. Timothy, from what we know about from the scriptures and from history, Timothy was a little bit more backwards and shy and maybe a little bit more fearful. And even in our text, I emphasized earlier, he said, thy tears. Here's his mentor. This is Paul's last book. They know more than likely Paul is about to go to the chopping block. Brother Luke, this is not a good day for Timothy. He's pastoring Baptist. Somebody say amen. So that's a mess right there. And he's got a lot going on in his life. And that's enough to drive any man or woman crazy. Amen. And so Paul picks up the pen and he writes about a lot of things. He writes more about church discipline and church etiquette in this book. He writes about some doctrine. He writes about what to look for in the last days. He writes about his final note. Chapter 4 is Paul's farewell to everybody. But before he gets to all of that, in the midst of tears, he tells Timothy that you don't need to fear. Amen. And there's an outline of fear. These are some things that the Lord showed me that Timothy was fearful over. If we're going to see the fundamentals of fear, we got to see the outline of fear. The first thing he was fearful over was political enemies. You got to understand the reason Paul was in bonds was not because he was walking around passing out roses. Amen. He was in bonds because he had been arrested by the government of the day. He was in bonds under the control of Nero. By this time, more than likely, Rome has burned. Nero is blaming everything on the Christians. I mean, it's really coming down on the people of God and even the Jewish people that weren't Christians. There was persecution going about and there was political enemies against the gospel. And may I say, the day we live in, the world we live in, they do not like the gospel. Amen. There are enemies of the gospel. There are political enemies that would like to keep the gospel in the four walls of our churches, and they're not really going to be satisfied with that. Eventually, they're not even going to want it preached inside our churches. You say, why is that, Brother Chris? Because if the gospel is going to mean anything, it's the good news. If the good news is going to mean anything, the bad news has to get there first. And if we go to preaching the bad news that men are sinners and that women are sinners and we're all condemned and sin's wicked, hey, eventually we're going to hurt somebody's feelings. Amen. That's the gospel's offensive. It's the most offensive thing that's ever been written down, and the political enemies are going to come against it. Timothy was fearful here of political enemies, but then he was fearful of powerful enemies. Paul said in Ephesians chapter number 6 that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. I'm going to tell you, neighbor, there's a battle going on around here in Indianapolis that we cannot see. And if God did let us see it, we'd probably lose our minds. Brother John, I'm telling you, there's a battle going on around here bigger than what's going on in the Middle East, bigger than what's going on around physically going on where people are fighting with guns and swords or anything like that. There is a spiritual warfare going on. I mean, we saw it the other day. I was standing out there at Shaylin. I was walking my dog, and I sent y'all that video on the polo gun. This man's out there tweaking, and he is losing his mind, and I thought something legitimately was wrong with him. And then all of a sudden, the car pulls into the driveway. Drugs are picked up. He goes back in the house. I videoed it right there, right across the road from the church.
church. And Brother Luke, my mind thought, that's not physical. I understand it has physical effects. I understand that it affects people physically, but there's a spiritual battle going on. We have not given credit enough to the spiritual things and to spiritual warfare, and there are powerful enemies. The spirit of Antichrist, as I mentioned, is already at work in this present day. The spirit of Antichrist, that's why the music's blending, the church music, the world's music. I mean, who would ever thought we'd have country rap? Come on now, help me, amen. Makes me so mad. I don't even listen to country anymore, and it makes me mad, amen. Hadn't listened, now listen, I quit listening to it a long time ago. It wasn't like last week. Somebody say amen right there. I mean, it makes me so aggravated, but everything's blending, isn't it? Even the Catholics are having contemporary services now. Amen. It's all blending. They're wanting to blend the Bibles. They're wanting to blend the music. They're wanting to blend the clothes. Men look like men, dress like women, and women dress like men. It's a blending of culture. It's a blending of religion. And if you think that's an accident or if it's just a fad, you're not paying attention, neighbor. That is the spirit of Antichrist at work. Why do you think they don't want borders? They want one world. They want everybody's money to be the same. They want no sovereignty of state. They don't want any kind of religious fundamentalism where it's Islam or Judaism or whatever it may be, or Christianity. They want no fundamentalism because they've got to tear down all the walls and blend it all together. Hey, and neighbor, if you get to focusing on that and forget that greater is he that's within me than he that's within the world, you will live in a constant state of fear because of the powerful enemies that are out there. There are political enemies, powerful enemies, but there's pious enemies. Pious enemies. In their day, who are the people that offered up Paul to the Romans? Well, it was the religious Jews. There were pious, and I say that in quotation marks, pious is not a bad word. It's actually a good word, and we use it in a negative way a lot of times, but it's a good word. Piety is a good word. It's living religiously. A lot of people don't want you to live religiously. Amen? Most people want you to go to heaven, but they don't want you to go to Canaan. Amen. Amen. They want you to get saved from hell, but not the world.
Right.
Amen.
Come on.
And when you start living like the Bible tells you to start living, it makes religious people real nervous. And I like the word religion. I'm sorry, Brother Chris, I'm probably making no sense, but I do like the word religion. But there's a lot of religious people out there. Hey, I remember a couple of years ago, the Pope came. Do y'all remember to America? And he went up to Washington, D.C., and all them Democrats and them God haters and them people that boo God at their convention and kill babies. Anybody watch that? And they're all down there kissing his ring. I thought, that ain't biblical religion. If I knew nothing else about the Pope, if I knew nothing else about religion, I can know that that's not real religion. Somebody say amen right there. But they hate what's pure. They hate what's holy. That young man, the big young man, Justin, that come from South Carolina, he grew up in the hood. He grew up, he was in drugs and things like that. And he was telling me, he literally, fellas, y'all know the big tent boxes we had from last year? He can pick one of them up and just walk around with it. I was like, oh my goodness. It scared me. I'm like, I ain't messing with him, amen. I mean, the whole thing, just picked it up. I'm like, what in the world? You're hired, amen. But he told me this. He said he had gotten saved and he didn't know any better. And he got in a Southern Baptist church and they were getting up every week and blowing out independent Baptists. And they used an ESV and they were getting up every week criticizing the King James Bible. And it made him think, well, if this is so right, why are they so mad at them for being the way they are? And a man that didn't have any background, a man that didn't have any discipleship, got a King James Bible and found his way to being an independent Baptist, found his way to being King James only without a... Amen. Because it just makes sense. Amen. It's historical. It's logical. It's factual. And the world does not like it. And the religious world does not like it. They want you to just... And here's what it is. I got to slow down right here. They want you to rebel against holiness and righteousness and purity, so it makes them feel better about their unrighteousness and their unholiness and their impurity. Are any of us good? No, not one. Somebody say amen right there. But I understand nobody's perfect, but I'm sick to death of people using that as an excuse to live however they want to. Right. There's a difference in knowing nobody's right or nobody's perfect and we all mess up and living on our knees and trying to live a holy life than to saying, oh, well, and using that as a cloak of lasciviousness and maliciousness that, oh, we can't be perfect, so I'm just going to go over here and drink a six-pack.
That's right.
In the religious world, they hated them then and they hate us now.
Right.
You ever get to Christmas? You don't ever say nothing to your family about anything. You don't say about how they're dressed. You go to Thanksgiving, you don't say anything about how they act or what their kids are doing. You just go and you're just there.
Yeah.
And have you ever heard this? Well, they just make me feel so uncomfortable. I just feel so condemned around Brother Luke. Is anybody? I'm sure that's just in the South. It probably doesn't happen in Indiana. Has anybody experienced that? You know what that is? You're not saying anything. You're not being ugly to them. What that is you're light and you're salt.
Amen.
You're shining light into their darkness and you're pouring salt into their wounds.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
And it stings and they don't like it. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil.
Amen.
And that's why we have enemies. Are y'all with me?
Amen.
I spent too much time there, but here we are. There's an outline of fear. But then number two, in the verse here, we see the origin of fear. The Bible says, for God, verse 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Stop right there. Well, if God hasn't given us a spirit of fear,
right,
there's only one other place it can come from.
Amen.
God has not given us the spirit. God has not placed fear in our life. Now listen, we got to understand there's a difference in reverential fear to God. There is a fear of God that is healthy. It is holy. We stand in awe of a holy God. We revere Him. We love Him. We stand in amazement to Him. That is a holy, reverential, biblical fear. That's not what I'm talking about. This fear is a satanic. It is a demonic fear. Amen. It is a fear that will overtake you and scare you to death where you won't want to do anything for God. And God is saying right here through Paul that God hasn't given us that spirit. So if that spirit didn't come from God, there's only one other place it can come from, and that is the devil. If you are living in fear today about what tomorrow holds, listen, let me say this. I know who holds tomorrow, amen. God has the future in His hands, as the old song says. And Brother John, this morning we don't have anything to fear because we know who's already been there. He can see the beginning from the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and last, that which is, which was, and which is to come. He is called Almighty, and He's got the future in His hand. And if we're living in fear, I'm not saying don't prepare. I'm not saying don't be ready for things, but I'm saying don't live in so much fear that you can't do anything for God.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
The devil gave us that fear if we're living in it. Amen.
That's right.
Chewing our nails down. Amen. Popping Maalocs like it's candy. Anybody else been there? Anybody else get tired of the news? Anybody else get tired of them forcing the fear on us? That fear is not from God.
That's right.
I see the outline of fear. You said, preacher, what can I do about this origin of fear? And that's what this is. We got the outline, but we have the origin of fear. If you have fear in your life like that, you know what the Bible says? Give no place to the devil. If the devil has a place in your life, it's because you gave it to him. I'm going to say that again. If the devil has a place in our lives, it's because we gave it to him. If he has a foothold or a stronghold, that's what the Bible calls it. If he has a stronghold of fear in your life, it's because you've handed that over to him. And you know what would be a good thing? Before we go into the tent season, before we go any further in your Christian life, it'd be a good thing to get in this altar today and say, Lord, I want that place back. And if you'll help me take it back, I want it back. Because it's a spiritual warfare. That's what this thing is. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but spiritual, mighty through God to the pulling down of what?
Yeah.
Strongholds. You can pull down those strongholds by the power of God this morning if you want to take that place back. It starts with wanting to take that place back. We see the outline of fear, the origin of fear. But number three, we see the oppression of fear. God doesn't mix words here. He doesn't just call it fear. He calls it the spirit of fear. Now let's do a comparison. If, as believers, we are to be filled with what? The Spirit of God, right? Big S, capital S. We are to be filled with the Spirit of God. If we're filled with the Spirit of God, and I'm just using the positive to illustrate this. But look, if I'm filled with the Spirit of God, it's going to control how I dress. It's going to control my actions. It's going to control my reactions. It's going to control my attitude. Somebody say amen right there. Especially if you got teenagers, say amen right there. It's going to control your actions, your attitude. It's going to control your banking account. I know that's shocking. If I'm filled with the Spirit, it's going to control my worship. It's going to control my witness. It's going to control my happiness. Amen. Hey, a Spirit-filled man can be broke as a convict and be happy if they're filled with the Spirit.
Amen.
And here's the opposite of that. If you're filled with the spirit of fear, it's going to control how you dress. It's going to control how you act. It's going to control how you react. It's going to control your attitude. It's going to control your banking account. May I go on? It's going to control everything about you. Because a spirit is designed to control. When I am submitted to the Spirit of God, Brother Chris, he literally, I'm giving him the reins of my life. Is that not, for lack of a better illustration, we are handing the reins over to the Spirit of God. But if you're living in your field, and by the way, you can't be filled with the Spirit and be filled with the spirit of fear at the same time. Listen, we are indwelt by the Spirit.
Yeah.
Amen. He's not going anywhere. He put up a no vacancy sign when we got saved. He's just not going anywhere. But here's the thing. My mentor said this. Being filled with the Spirit is not us getting more God. It's God getting more of us. It's not some mystical thing. Woo, Spirit filled. It's not like that. It's not just for preachers either.
Amen.
I'm so tired of believers thinking that it's just for preachers to get up and preach the Bible. Every time in the book of Acts somebody is being filled with the Spirit, it is to speak the Word of God with boldness.
Amen.
And that's not just behind the pulpit. Most of the time I don't know of any time they were necessarily behind a pulpit when they were filled with the Spirit in the book of Acts. Being filled with the Spirit is so we can live a Christ-centered, Christ-filled life. But what's the opposite of that? If we're being filled with the Spirit, the Lord has the reins of our lives. If we're filled with the spirit of fear, who has the reins of our lives? Help me. What are we going to do? We're going to do where He wants us to go. We're being controlled. We're being manipulated. Y'all see that? This morning, the outline of fear is where it comes from. The origin of fear is where it originated from. But we see the oppression of fear. He controls everything. Are you being controlled by fear this morning? I know people that they'll go everywhere else but church right now. Everywhere. There's some people that, and I'm not being ugly, I'm not being mean, I'm not being hateful, but there are some people that are not going to come back because they're being controlled by fear. It's like you can only get the virus when you walk through the back door at McGregor Road Baptist Church. It's like that's the only place you can get it. It's like there's some voodoo on this thing. You know, listen. I don't want to live being controlled by a spirit of fear.
Right. Amen.
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 You know what's more fearful than dying? Not living.
Amen.
Not living. And I'm not even being political with this. I hope you see that. I'm not trying to be political. This morning, are you being controlled by something other than the Spirit of God?
Wow. Amen.
And may I say this, and I'm not being critical or ugly. I don't care if you're a preacher, preacher's wife. I don't care if you're a choir singer or a Sunday school teacher or a deacon, whatever your title is. You can have every title in the world. But if you're not filled with the Spirit as a Christian, you are not in the will of God.
Right.
Because the Bible says it in Ephesians 5. Be not drunk with wine. Where it says be filled with the Spirit. It is not a good suggestion. It is a command. And I don't care what title is by your name. If you are not filled with His Spirit as a believer, you are not and cannot be in the will of God until you are. I got to move on. I see the outline of fear, the origin of fear, the oppression of fear. But look at number four, the option to fear. My mentor, Brother Blue, I already quoted him once, but if he was here, of course, he's in heaven, so he's not worried about anything right now. But he would say the word in the middle of this verse is a Holy Ghost conjunction. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but there's an option to living in the spirit of fear. What has He given us? He's given us a spirit of love and of power, or power and of love and of a sound mind. Because I alliterate everything, that's your power, that's your passion, and that's your perception. Where are you at with your mind tonight, this morning? Where are you at in your power? You say, what power, Brother Chris? We like to quote Ephesians 3:20. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. But most people stop right there. There's the rest of that verse. According to the power that now worketh in us. Do you know as a believer you have the power of God already in you? Did you know that? It's not some mystical thing. I know I keep repeating that, but we've made it a mystical thing, like it's only for preachers when they stand up here. But it's for us to live in every day of our life. John 7 said that he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. My question is, this one, I preached a message years ago on where are the rivers? Where are they this morning? If we've really believed on His name, might we say we have? Why is the church not full of rivers? That's a picture of the Holy Ghost of God flowing, the power of God flowing through us. And He didn't just say one river, it said multiple. We are to be conduit. We are to be a channel. Yesterday, He set up the generator for the power because we can't get power over there. Amen? Baptists can't get power most places. But anyways, that's a whole other message. But He didn't just lay wire out on the ground. You ran a piece of conduit from the head of the generator all the way under over to the power hookup. Is that right? There's power. There's a source there already. There's a place that needed power. But we needed something to get that power from one place to the other. And there had to be some conduit. And you know what? As Christians, as believers, there's already power in us. And it's not for speaking in tongues and rolling, nothing like that. It's for serving God. It's for a holy life. It is. Well, some of us are so beat down because we want to live. We fail and fail and fail, and we fail. We're failures. Amen. Outside of Christ, but we can live a victorious Christian life because there's power already in us. But as long as we're living in the spirit of fear, that power is going to be dammed up inside of us. It's going to be cut off. But the moment you find that source where everything's being dammed up and you blow that dam up and allow that power to flow through your life, it will change everything. Y'all know when somebody comes in off the street and they're from just the rough side of the tracks and they're a rough cut piece of board and tattoos everywhere, and you know they still got maybe some drugs in their pocket, and they get saved, and it absolutely radicalizes everything about them. You know what I'm talking about, Brother Luke? We've seen that, haven't we? And Brother Chris, it absolutely radicalizes everything about their life, and their family knows. Their family may not like it, but their family knows that there's something different. Everybody in the community knows there's something different. The church sees something different. You know what that is? That's the rivers. And I'm so tired of people saying, well, you'll get over that, or you'll get past that. We don't have to get past that. We can live like that every day of our lives. Amen. With the power of Christ flowing, not just in. See, we become the Dead Sea. You know why the Dead Sea's dead? Because it takes in and it never gives out. We got a bunch of Dead Sea believers. They're stagnant and stale because we want to take in, we never put out. power, love. There's passion. A sound mind. Amen. Man, I got. Anybody ever had problems with your mind in here? Amen. Those, the rest of you's lying. You're lying right there. We struggle with our mind, don't we? Brother Chris, I'll just be walking along doing something, and I'll think of something I did when I was 12. And I'm like, Lord, help me. Anybody else? If you don't have a good memory, praise God for it. Amen. Sometimes I'm just about to... And you know what I think? I think a lot of Christians have lost their mind. They've lost it to fear. I get on Facebook. People don't have enough clothes on to make a pup tent for a gnat. Amen. Their bio will say, I love Jesus and wine too. And I'm like, no. No, you don't. And I'm like, they've lost their mind. And the more I look at this verse, they have lost their mind. They've lost their mind to this world. They've lost their mind to the system. They've lost their mind to the culture. And maybe they've lost their mind to fear. We got to have a right perception, the right passion. We got to have the right power. That's the option to fear, to live it in that spirit. You say, preacher, how are we going to go against this fear? And I'm almost done. There's the outline of fear, the origin of fear, the oppression of fear, the option to fear. You say, oh, wait, I can't skip this. Say, preacher, how am I going to get the fear out and get the power and perception and the passion in? I'm glad you asked. Y'all ready for the secret? Y'all can't tell nobody. This is a big deal. Y'all want to know? Y'all ready? Y'all, everybody got your Bible in your hand? All right, everybody lift it up. That's it! That's it! Y'all know that button on the front of your TV that says power? It does go off.
Amen.
I don't have my phone on me. Ain't that a miracle? Turn it off.
Amen.
I really was losing my mind last year. I was living in fear. I mean, I was very, very anxious, and I'm not an anxious person. My wife says if I ever started getting all fearful, we all go crazy. Amen. I'm the balance in that in our home. I'm a fatal optimist, and she's a pessimist sometimes. Amen. Let's just say that. Amen. We balance each other out. But Luke, I had gotten to where I was listening to news podcasts every day. And I knew everything going on in politics, and I was going crazy over it. And in September, even before all the crazy really got crazy, I just said, I'm not listening to this no more. And I started listening to preaching every day during my workout, during my run, during just running around, riding down the road. I just started listening to preaching. I replaced all of that other with preaching. And I mean, everything could be falling apart, but I'm happy. Woo! I'm excited about serving Jesus. Let come what may, and I know we got to listen. I understand. Hey, we're not living in Afghanistan today. We do have liberty here. We need to protect it, and we need to guard it, and we need to stand up for it. Amen. Hey, but listen to me, neighbor. I can't live consumed by the culture. I can't live consumed by the system. I want to be consumed by the Word of God. I want to be drenched and just permeated by the Word of God. And that neighbor, that will be what combats the spirit of fear. That's the only way we can have a spirit of power and passion and perception.
Amen.
Is by getting in the Word. Is everybody with me?
Amen.
Say, preacher, I read a verse a day. It's going to take more than that. You're going to have to saturate yourself. Start your day with it. Get some in the middle of your day. End your day with it. Live in that book. Brother Milford Biddle, who could quote the whole New Testament and a good chunk of the Old Testament, he died at 89 years old. He said this, he told me multiple times, he said, if you'll hide the Word of God in you, one day it'll hide you in it. And that is the truth this morning. Last thing, the opposition to fear. So how do we oppose it? We figured out how to replace it, but how do we keep it out? Well, this spirit of power and passion and perception needs to be put to work. The theme of chapter 1 here is the gospel.
Verse 8, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, and be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Right here he's saying, replace that spirit of fear with the power of God and start using it for the gospel. Verse 13 talks about sound words. It talks about love, which is in Christ Jesus. If we really love people, we want to get them the gospel more than we want to get them anything. Amen. Sound words come from a sound mind. Say amen right there. This morning, the key is to quit living for us. Quit living inward and start living outward. Amen. The key is to quit letting it be all about me. We live in a me society. Can y'all believe that we are on, it is Selfie Sunday? Can y'all believe that? It's supposed to be the Lord's Day, and people take selfies of each other all day on Sunday. I'm like, Selfie Sunday, what could be more prideful on the Lord's Day? Y'all know why they call them selfies, don't you? Because narcissistic is too hard to say. Amen. It's too hard to say.
Amen.
But are we not a me culture?
Yeah.
I culture. Us culture. Even in the church, it's gotten that way, preacher. We've closed off. We're fishing in a barrel. But what if we got to looking outward? See, that's the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, and peace, that's inward fruit. Long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness, that's outward fruit. Faith, meekness, and temperance, that's upward fruit. You hear me? And that's the power, love, and sound mind. That's not so we can just sit around and pat each other on the back and have a good service with every once in a while. It's so we can go out these side of these walls and do exactly what these churches y'all have been doing. Go into your Jerusalem. And when you're consumed with getting the gospel out, you will not be consumed with fear. I'll say this, and I'm done. Brother Samuel Freed. How many of y'all know Brother Samuel? He's y'all's missionary, right? Brother Samuel, I've never met anybody like him. The saying is, I mean, you just ask anybody on our group. If you can't find Brother Samuel, he's either praying or winning somebody to Jesus. It's just how he lives his life. He's like a gospel ninja. I mean, I kid you not. Amen. And we'll go into Cracker Barrel. Say amen right there. And we'll go into Cracker Barrel. And I go to our table, and typically I just order for Brother Samuel. Because Brother Luke, he's not going to be there for about 15 minutes. Because he goes to every table and gives everybody at that table, or gives everybody, every table, a gospel tract. And like, can I confess my faults to y'all? I don't want to do that. That's people's private space. That's their play. That's their area. Especially now in COVID, you know, everybody back up. But I just go ahead and go sit down and order his food, because he's going to go to every table. And this is what he's going to say. He's going to say, let me give you some good news to read today. Every time we go somewhere. Amen. I mean, hundreds of people in there. And he can't even sit down and eat, Brother Luke, before he gets the gospel to them.
Amen.
Can I be honest why I don't like doing that? I'm fearful. Mm. I know we don't like to admit that kind of stuff. I'm fearful. I don't like that. I don't like that kind of ride in everybody's space confrontation. I'll go out to them on the porch, but I don't want to get there. And he's lived it so long and so much, Brother Luke, it doesn't even bother him anymore. It's just natural. Do y'all see where I'm going? I deal with the fear of that one thing. I'm using that as an example. I deal with the fear of that. Brother Samuel's continued to do it, and just he's inoculated to that fear of that. I don't even know if he may be even a little naive that people don't want you up in their food. I don't know. But the more we go with the gospel, the less fearful we'll be of everything around us. Does that make sense today? Maybe you're here this morning, you're fearful because you're lost. Paul said in the middle of that chapter, he don't have to be fearful, for I know who I am believed. I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. This morning, if you're living in fear and you're lost, you can do all those things we just talked about, but you're still going to be lost, you're still going to be heading for hell, and you're still going to have fear. What you need this morning is salvation. But this morning is believers. Quit living in a state of fear. Quit living under the bondage of it. Come down here this morning
and say, Lord, I want to be filled with your Spirit. I don't want to be filled with that fear. I want that power that the preacher said and the scripture said is within me. I want it to flow out of me and be used for your glory.
You have been listening to an audio message from McGregor Road Baptist Church. We are located on the southeast side of Indianapolis, Indiana. To learn more about our church, visit www.actonschurch.com. You can also call us at 317-862-3414. Thank you for listening, and may God richly bless you as you seek to grow in the Lord.